Welcome to the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
This segment brought to you by PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of our Chicagoland locations today. We do have something to give away for some people here.
Yeah.
Thanks to our friends over at Kemper Sports, a supporter of the CDGA Golf Show. Also, they manage Bolingbrook Golf Club, where Mike is right now, home of the LIV Golf Individual Championships. They also manage Harborside, which is a bear of a course. You want a good challenge, find your way out to Harborside. But they have very generously given us a foursome to give away to play at Harborside. So thank you to our friends at Kemper Sports, Harborside, and David Abrams. So be caller 10 right now, 312-332-3776, and you will win a foursome to play out at Harborside, which I've played. Listen, I haven't played nearly as many courses as you, Mike, but I have played Pinehurst, and I will tell you this. Harborside was more difficult than Pinehurst number two.
Well, you must have caught it on a windy, windy day down there at Harborside. And when that wind blows, that course is as hard as they get.
Thick,
but
rough,
it is
too.
Also a real treat to play.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, it is extremely scenic. It is a beautiful, well-maintained course, but it's tough. So you better bring your A game out to Harborside.
Well, yeah, and CDGA members are going to be out there on Monday morning. We have both courses for the Kemper Cup, two-person scramble. So that has been the home of it, and it's been a great host for us for that championship. So both courses, four flights, two flights on each course, will be playing for stay-and-play trips to Sand Valley. So, yeah, David Abrams and Kemper, just to celebrate LIV and everything else, you know, wanted to share this with the listeners. So, yeah, be the 10th caller and have a great time. And it's your choice, Port or Harborside. You can't go wrong with either one of those two.
No, you cannot. No, you cannot. All right. Let's get into the Solheim Cup, because from a logistics standpoint, it has been a nightmare. But if you are on the U.S. team, you are loving where you are right now with a 6-2 lead. And you look at the logistical angle here. All right. So, number of fans, I mean, they were expecting big crowds for this event, but those crowds didn't end up showing up, or at least showing up on time, because of a shuttle issue where they could not get buses to bring these large groups of fans from hotels or from like parking spots to the actual event that is being played out at Robert Trent Jones Golf Club in Virginia right now. And this is like one of the marquee events on the LPGA. It's like their Ryder Cup, essentially. And
it is
been a nightmare trying to get all of these fans there. And you're used to, this is one of those events where fan involvement, extremely critical. You talk about home field advantages. It's really the only golf course where there is a home crowd advantage that is surrounding the event. And you couldn't get the fans out there because you couldn't get them bussed over because the buses weren't showing up.
Yeah, and I guess it really almost goes to show, and I saw one article where the title was that LPGA just not ready for prime time. Mm-hmm. And I got to be honest with you, they should have known they had a problem on their hands when it took hours to take the people back to the parking lot at the end of the day of the opening ceremonies on Thursday. So to wake up Friday morning with portalettes, every single portalette was locked. They didn't even unlock those. And then there was only one bus for thousands.
Yeah.
So there was almost a 3.5 hour wait at one point. Spectators ended up just going home. They want their money back. And it'll be interesting to see the ripple effect today by those that went home and aren't coming back. And there were a lot of people sounding off, I finally made it here, but if you think I'm coming back tomorrow, you're crazy.
Yeah.
And so it was really a tough day for the LPGA yesterday in the Solheim Cup, because to your point, this is a huge, huge flagship event for them. They don't get a lot of coverage, but when it comes to something like this, they're going to get a ton of it. And unfortunately, the story of the day wasn't that the Americans have taken a nice lead. It's that nobody got to see it. In fact, when they put the first group off, the tradition is that the first tee is just engulfed with spectators. Mm-hmm. The fever, the fanfare, the noise, the pageantry, the patriotism, it's all electric. And they had thousands of seats empty. It looked like a White Sox game is really what it looked like. But the talent was a lot better.
Yeah, right.
But unfortunately, it was just logistics. I mean, I saw these pictures, and I was like, is that you know, the cell, or is that, you know? But anyway, yeah, reading what happened as a former tournament director myself, I have to tell you, I got the heebie-jeebies. I started getting shivers. I felt sorry for somebody. Really had a tremendously bad day. And, you know, it's just some of what they did wrong is basic 101 shuttling. It's just a, you know, when we were in school, we would go have those story problems, and it's just a time motion problem. You have so many people, a distance you have to cover, and a capacity of a bus. How many trips are you going to have to take, and what's the frequency therein? And it's real simple. You start with a few buses, and then you bring them on, and you get to your full inventory when you expect the biggest crowds,
yeah.
And then you dwindle the buses off. I mean, it's real simple, but that is logistical, and it'll be interesting to hear what goes on today, but not a good start. And in fact, the foreshadowing of all of this came to be when the Americans had a chance to pick which house that they wanted. And there's controversy under the house that they picked. They picked the bigger house, 8 bedrooms, 8 baths, that was just down from where the Europeans are. Unfortunately, the Europeans' house, yeah, smaller, but it sat right on the practice range. So from a location perspective, the Europeans turned it into a big patio. They're on the practice range. And so the Americans literally almost have to walk through their hospitality area. And that created quite a friction right then and there. And I thought to myself, well, if they weren't really even, why did you make those the homes? I mean, it's just give them a hotel, give one the one floor and the other floor, and just bring them in and keep it equal. But that event has struggled right out of the gate and continues to struggle. The one group that's not struggling are the Americans, and specifically Nelly Korda.
Yeah.
So the Americans are enjoying a nice lead. They're down in a couple early matches, tied in one and winning the other. So they should be doing pretty well today.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm reading this other story here where there was a person who was traveling in from Arkansas to attend the matches. And she just found a parking spot off the highway 2 miles away and walked. Like, that is the logistical nightmare we're dealing with here. Like, you as a former tournament director, when you're debriefing the situation, when you are breaking off for the night, I'm sure you're not getting a lot of sleep, A. But B, like, what is that meeting like after there's a catastrophe? I don't know if you had any, I'm sure nothing like this, but I'm sure not everything went 100% according to plan during your time as a tournament director. And that's not a knock on you by any stretch of the imagination, but it's life. Bleep happens all the time. What is this debrief like?
Oh, yeah. The debrief, some of those meetings are similar to a halftime meeting at a football game if your game is tight and or you're down. Those can be some courageous conversations. And that we got to get our stuff right tomorrow. But we honestly used the practice rounds as literally our practice rounds to get certain systems proven and working right. But that conversation is usually involving the vendors and certain staff. And before we all break, we have an understanding that these things are non-negotiable and have to be in place. And then you have to have somebody that's literally there at 4, 5, or 6 in the morning following up. Did all of this, in fact, take place? Because they have a PR issue, and they need to respond with an incredible operational solution in a matter of just hours. They have a tall task ahead of them. But if they have the inventory already on hand and it's just a question of the timing, then they can fix it. But if they were looking for more buses last night, getting those buses into the community is going to be of a challenge. And then where are you housing the drivers and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Because what you face in the fall are these motor coach companies, especially in the East and Northeast when fall foliage comes about, that they don't want to rent their stuff to you on a one-off event. So for Ryder Cups in September, for example, up in Rochester and up in Boston, we had to go to 13 different states to organize all the equipment to come in. And then we had to create our own inventory, and one person quarterbacked all the buses. And that's how we did it. But you have, if they don't have that inventory in and around them, they may be getting the inventory today, and they may be finally figuring this thing out tomorrow. I fear what's going to happen today. It should be better, but it might not be anywhere near perfect.
Yeah. Real quick, before we do break, I do want to know, what was like the biggest nightmare or headache that you ever had as a tournament director? Is there one or maybe a couple that you really stick out to you when you think, like, what did you flash back to when you saw the story?
Well, first off, I flash back to Kiowa in 1991 when we literally had to build a golf course at the end of a barrier island in hurricane season at the end of an island, and we couldn't even get anyone in the United States to insure the event because Hurricane Hugo had blown through the community two years earlier and did tremendous devastating destruction. So we had to have the Lloyd's of London actually insure the event. But that particular event, I thought I was in the clear Friday afternoon when we had beautiful weather forecasted for the rest of the way. The players were out. Everyone was loving it. The shuttles were operating just perfect. So I thought I'm going to have a nice weekend. And I got a call into our main building immediately. I needed to get there. Like, something's really, really wrong. And I'm thinking, what could be wrong? So I walk in, and there was about six or eight guys sitting around a table in dark suits and dark glasses. And they said, you might want to sit down. Vice President Quayle's going to be here tomorrow, and you need to get ready.
Oh,
and so
boy.
I had to find TV. Now, this is on a Saturday, mind you. For Saturday, I had to have a trailer brought in, phone lines, cable lines, and additional security. We had to land this helicopter. So everything turned upside down. I had to call in favors all around the Charleston area to make it work. But, you know, when you have people that are all in it together, you can move mountains if you have the right people. And we did it. And Vice President Quayle came in. He enjoyed it. He actually, when he got here, he says, is there any chance I can play the front nine while they're on the back nine? And we had to secure the front nine of the ocean course so he could do that.
Wow.
The only blemish of the whole day is somebody got into the locker room and stole his tie. Mm. He has a presidential tie that got lifted. But aside from that, that was one of the – it wasn't a problem. It was more of just a logistic that fell into your lap. I mean, yeah, we would love to have the vice president here. But when you bring the vice president in, you have to land, in essence, this helicopter has two huge propellers that it's like a hospital. In case something happens, they could do triage and surgery right in that helicopter for them. When they landed that thing on the practice range, it blew down every single fence, and they were held up with galvanized steel poles, but they bent them like they were licorice sticks. So we had to try to go around and re-erect a fence, otherwise the fans were going to steal all the golf balls.
Well, so, and this tournament director...
Yeah, these kind of goofy things happen.
Yeah, and this tournament director has to deal with the same thing because Obama's there. So, like...
Exactly.
It's the same headache that you had, I'm sure, on top of this, the logistical nightmare with the buses.
Oh, when you have heads of state, I've had to deal with kings, queens, princesses coming to our events, and then when you start dealing with security from overseas that has to work with our Secret Service and all of this, it gets to be an absolute bloody nightmare. You have to come up with a credential system that everybody can look at everybody and know whether or not you are carrying a gun or not. Believe it or not, there's an ability to tell in here who's carrying and who's not by the credential that they're wearing. it gets down to that kind of detail so that security can do their thing. Security is, and I can see it here, there is security in clothes that you can't even believe. We've got security here that look like caddies, and they're actually police officers. I can see them right down below me. It's pretty interesting how they have had to think through a lot of logistics of security for the players. But when you bring in an Obama, man, you're bringing in a tremendous amount of logistical things that you now have to think about that you would have never had on the to-do list, the soup to nuts list when thinking about putting this event on. It brings in a whole nother set of logistics and operational considerations like you can't even begin to think of.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. All right, when we come back, we will talk with Sam Bettinardi from Bettinardi Golf. Get you all the latest with their products that they're putting out because they've got some really cool stuff. So we'll discuss all that when we come back with Sam in just a little bit. This segment brought to you by Fox Bend Golf Course.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Yay, to where you should play. This is the CDGA Golf Show with Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
This segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort up North Michigan Golf without the drive. Tyler Aki alongside Mike Gilligan talking all things in the world of golf with you. Let's head on out to the Jersey Mike's hotline. Jersey Mike's a sub above where we find the president of Bettinardi. It is Sam Bettinardi, president of Bettinardi Golf, with us on the Jersey Mike's hotline. Good morning, Sam. Thanks so much for taking some time with us today.
Good morning. You got it. And thanks for having me on, guys.
Sam, good to have you here, buddy. So first and foremost, a huge congratulations on the irons that launched in April. I have to tell you, those things look so good. And then when I saw them in my hands, they looked even better. How did the launch go, and what can we expect out of Bettinardi in the iron game for months and years to come?
Yeah, no, thank you for asking. I think the launch went absolutely fantastic. It's been a dream of my father and I. My father started the business in 1998, and I've been working here at Bettinardi for about 11 years. And we knew in the back of our mind we always wanted to make irons, but we knew there was never a rush because of the putters and the wedges. So we really had the ability to take our time. It took about 4 or 5 years to really perfect the design and the technology and inside of each head, and I think we did just that. You know, the first testing, Fred Couples put them in play right away. He loved them. And a lot of the fitters around the country are saying they're the straightest iron in golf. With their performance, you're getting great distance. It's forged, so it's a phenomenal feel. And I think the product is what customers, you know, love and expect from Bettinardi Golf, what they know through the putters, the wedges, and now into the iron. So very proud of the launch. I think it's going great. And it's only been 5 months, so here we go.
Sam, when you look at... I mean, you've guys got putters, wedges, irons, you've got apparel, you've got accessories like club head covers and stuff like that. When you're just out playing around and you see one of these products out there, which one do you see out on the course and it makes you like the most proud?
I would say really anything, but obviously more recently irons, because that's something I'm passionate about, you know, getting out in the wild more. But a putter, anytime I see a putter in the wild, I try to go up to that person and say thank you. You know, we're a family-owned business, and it means a lot that people are buying our product. But, of course, love seeing putters. It's been 26 years, and means a lot to the family and I that people are buying and, of course, making putts with Bettinardi's.
So, Sam, I get asked this question a lot of you, and the question is, what putter does Sam use when he's got a choice of nothing but the best in the world? Do you have a putter that you always use, or are you one like me that's you're going with what you're riding hot?
You know what? I used to tinker all the time, probably in, you know, high school, college, to my demise. And then when I first started working, like 2013, we were coming out with the Kuchar model when we were working with Matt Kuchar, which was the arm lock. No one had ever made an arm lock putter before. And I've been very faithful to that model for basically 11 years. I've tried different heads throughout the years, of course, testing and for fun. but very consistent. I think the arm lock technology shaved probably 3 to 4 shots around off my game. I just love the consistency. I love the fact that my wrists and hands don't get involved in the stroke, and it's changed my life. So got to go Team Arm Lock.
Sam Bettinardi, our guest here on the CDGA Golf Show, president of Bettinardi Golf. You mentioned Matt Kuchar there. You've worked with a number of tour players now, both on the PGA Tour, LIV Tour, notably Matt Fitzpatrick, Jason Kokrak as well, Alex Fitzpatrick, Matt's brother, Fred Couples. What has that been like working with some of these players, and how validating has that been for the company as a whole to be working with some of the best players in the game?
Yeah, I mean, it's so cool. The old saying in golf, you know, used to be and still rings true to me, is what wins on Sunday sells on Monday. So to be able to have a tour rep, multiple tour reps going out to LIV, going out to amateur events, PGA Tour, LPGA Tour, and getting players using and winning with our product is unbelievable. You know, we've had 4 major wins since 2018 with, you know, Molinari in 2018, Matt Fitz in 2022, and then Patty Tavitanikin and Celine Boutier in the ladies tour. So that's amazing to be able to get the product in these players' hands and then winning. It validates what we're doing. We've had over 100 professional wins since 1998. So we know we make some of the best putters in golf. You know, we're not going to dominate the tour like some of the other big, you know, billion-dollar brands out there, but we are going to keep working hard and make innovative product that works and try to get the best players in the world using it.
And speaking of some of the best players in the world, one of them is here in the name of Jason Kokrak. When the tour or a major event comes to Chicago, you know, home of Bettinardi, what is the experience like for a guy like Jason when he comes in? I mean, are you guys bringing him out to the new studio? Is he going through checking things with you guys, looking at new stuff, or does he just sort of kind of come in and leave and nothing much is said?
Yeah, great question. Every player is really different. Depends on what's going on in their game at the time. We've had probably 5 or 6 LIV players in the studio. Can't name all the names, but a guy like Jason, who usually sticks with the same model, has been tinkering lately. So he came in for a spec check, you know, lie, loft, length, making sure the ball's rolling well on our Quintec putting system, which is the best in the world. And our new Studio B, which is in Oak Brook, is literally 20 minutes away from Bolingbrook, so very easy to get to for the players. And we have 2 putting bays. You know, we have our wedge and iron bay. And I think guys, to me, when they come in, they leave with confidence. They leave knowing that their putter is right for them. You know, through travel, you know, their putters get out of spec, they get out of whack, and they can come back into Studio B and know that their equipment is perfect for them. And that, to me, is a confidence builder. We've seen it so many times throughout the years. A guy will come in, and the next week they'll win, or they'll play really well, or shortly after their win. It just means a lot to them knowing they have the best tools in their hand.
Sam Bettinardi, our guest here, president of Bettinardi Golf on the CDGA Golf Show. And Sam, when you look at what the golf industry has become over the last couple of years, especially since COVID, I mean, so much has changed. The gear, the accessories, the clubs, everything has kind of exploded, it feels like, over the last handful of years. What's been the biggest change that you've noticed from your time from maybe 10 years ago to where we are right now?
Yeah, I would say 10 years ago, it was, you know, it's still dominated, but it was very heavily in the big 5 brands, you know, Callaway, Ping, Titleist, TaylorMade, Callaway. And now I feel like the last few years, it's opened the door to a lot more niche brands and a lot more family brands through the power of social media and through the power of just niche products that are out there. There's so many great brands that are producing incredible products like Bettinardi Golf. And I think we've had the opportunity to continue to really, really grow by the last few years, people just seeing what else is out there. You know, 4 or 5 million new golfers that have entered in the United States, and times that by, you know, maybe another 30 million around the world. People are hungry for, you know, not just the mainstream product that's out at every store around the world. They're searching for stories like Bettinardi, which is family owned and makes their entire product line in-house and employs, you know, 100 American employees, all that fun stuff. So I think it's been more of a spotlight for niche brands like us, and it's been really good and really fun to be able to continue to grow the company, you know, with that COVID surge and where the game's so healthy right now.
You know, and Sam, as I was listening to you explain the niche brand that you are, when I start looking at some of the products that you have, the one that I have fallen in love with, and you talk about a niche, how about the slushy wedges? The slushy Reflex HLX. And I love it. It's complemented with fruit punch and a little blue chill accents. What's the story behind that? Because I am a huge slushy fan.
There you go. Well, that was a 7-Eleven release. And, you know, for our brand, we do two-year product cycles on putters, wedges, irons, and then we also have the Studio B reserve section of our website. Every 6 to 8 weeks, we're trying to refresh that with production models, but in different finishes, different face millings and alignments to give people the option at a nice price point without breaking the bank going to the Hive. And then the Hive is our place where we do, you know, one-of-one putters, small batch head covers, accessories, pretty much every 2 weeks. It sells out very quickly, so we feel like we have a great tier of our product, you know, entry-level production, Studio B reserve, and then going to the Hive where you can, you know, get a custom putter, a one-of-one putter exactly the way you like it, you know, and you can make that happen in Oak Brook or over the phone through our concierge.
Sam Bettinardi with us for a few more minutes here on the CDGA Golf Show, President Bettinardi Golf. So I noticed, too, you guys have ambassadors outside of the golf world as well, actors and baseball players and football players. Ian Happ is one of them. Robbie Gold, our buddy, another one of them. Those two guys so big here in the area. I've noticed this a lot with a number of golf companies, but why is it important to get people outside the golf world endorsing your products, especially when they are athletes in other sports?
Yeah, well, I'm here. I'm calling you from Studio B Oak Brook right now, and Ozzie Guillen's here, believe it or not. And it's so fun to have the Chicago contingency of coaches, former athletes, you know, some of the game's best players, because golf is the great, you know, the greatest sport in the world that brings everybody together. You know, it's a relationship thing, and I've been very fortunate enough to meet some of those athletes you named and the different coaches, and they love golf and they love Bettinardi because we make it in Chicago and we make the best in the world. And they've gravitated towards our brand, and, you know, it means a lot to what Ozzie's, you know, I'm a diehard White Sox fan and what he did for Chicago. And then going to players like Ian Happ, who's a scratch, you know, 1-2 handicap, and what he's been able to do in Chicago. And just getting those guys talking about our brand, because people, of course, you know, being in Chicago, one of our goals is to own Chicago. And by having those great players on Team B, you know, we've had some Bears players in the studio in recent weeks, you know, Poles, Flus, Keenan Allen, Cole Kmet. And they just love the brand for what it stands for, the quality, the craftsmanship, and our vision for what we're trying to do. So it's been really, really fun to work with those great guys.
Yeah, I know Ozzie. I don't know anything about Ozzie's game. I know his partner, Chuck Garfine, pretty good golfer from what I've heard.
I'll have to go ask Ozzie. Ozzie claims he's a 13, maybe because he always wore number 13, but I've actually had the privilege of playing with him. He's fun. You know, he's what you see on TV, is what you see on the course. He beats himself up a little bit, and try to instill that confidence back in number 13.
Yeah, Ozzie is a 13. Tell Ozzie that's a license to steal. but honestly, though, Bettinardi, such an exciting brand in our hometown. We are so proud of what you're able to do. What can we look forward to 2025 from this great brand?
Thank you, guys. 2025, we have some really cool product coming out. You'll see some press releases and news in November, two new putter product lines. We have a new line of wedges coming out in February of next year, and we also have an amazing partnership we're very excited to announce in the month of October that people will be extremely excited about, relating to sports and some of our hometown teams. So stay tuned for that. But we're going to keep plugging away. We're going to keep making the best product in the world. We're going to, you know, our pillars of our brand are heritage, craftsmanship, and innovation. And we want to continue to innovate, continue to craft the best. And, you know, that heritage, that rich history we have of 100 professional wins and who we've worked with and, you know, the history that we've been able to tell our story has been unbelievable. You know, the first one-piece milled putter in golf and where we are today in different product lines has been so fun, and we're going to keep rocking.
That's a nice tease there. Sam, appreciate you taking some time with us this morning, and best of luck moving forward with Bettinardi Golf.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you having me on.
Some great products there. Bettinardi Golf. Find them at bettinardi.com. Some awesome stuff. Sam Bettinardi, president of Bettinardi Golf, kind enough to join us here on the Jersey Mike's hotline. Jersey Mike's a sub above. When we come back, Mike, the fans are on the grounds now at Bolingbrook Golf Club. I want to get to what your impressions have been of the early crowd so far and also keep you updated with what is taking place out at the event. All that coming up next. This segment has been brought to you by our friends over at Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Golf is on your mind and on the air right now. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
This segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort, up north Michigan Golf without the drive, alongside Mike Gilligan, who is on the grounds at Bolingbrook Golf Club for the LIV Golf Individual Championships. I'm Tyler Aki. All right, Mike, what is the scene like now? Because I know the gates are officially open. You sent us a couple pictures. It looks packed already out of the gate.
Yeah, it's the fans are filing in, and everyone is so excited about getting this day started. They have these amazing vehicles. They're called Drinks to Go. And there are noticeable lines. Everyone's, you know, getting their beverages, getting that going this morning. But the teams have all started to make their way out. They're warming up on the putting green. Some of the teams are over on the practice range. But it's just been interesting to see the reaction to everybody coming in here and trying to figure this thing out, because for a lot of people coming here, this is the first time they're being exposed to the LIV format, you know, and getting to understand these teams and the players. And so it's funny. There are a lot of people just looking at papers, looking at things, pointing at things, asking questions, trying to figure this thing out. And I think the toughest thing, or the most challenging thing that people are trying to figure out, is why and how is it just a two-man race, but yet there's still all these other players playing. So it goes back to what we said earlier. We have two guys that are almost playing what we almost look like a match play, in a sense. Mm-hmm. It's a two-man race for the overall. But meanwhile, Brooks Koepka is leading this specific event. And this event will pay out just like any of the others for the regular tournament. But there's all the extra bonus money, and, you know, the title of the individual champion is all on the line today between Joaquin and Jon Rahm. So fans will get a chance to see regular golf, a bit of a two-man event, and then the rest of the 54 players going at it, and then understanding what these teams are, who they are, who's on them. And I think that's the biggest challenge for most of the people today, is to identify, you know, who the high flyers are versus the crushers and the four aces. So, but usually by the end of the day, you're walking away pretty much understanding who's on what team, almost no different than stock car fans as they know their teams and their drivers. So, you know, that's really the model that I think LIV pointed to when they created this team environment, is they were using a bit of what we call the stock car team model to develop the format that they have here today.
What is, like, the, like, how much LIV merchandise would you say, and like team representation would you say is being sported among the fans? How much gear is out there right now?
Well, it's funny you bring that up, because in years past, it was virtually nothing. Yeah. I mean, first off, the first year, the amount of merchandise they had was hardly anything, because the evolution of this league happened so fast.
I mean,
a few T-shirts and a few caps. But now, it's amazing how many people are buying the stuff and sporting it. And again, we talked to Bubba Watson a couple weeks ago. The Range Goats are clearly the leaders in terms of what is being sported around here. But I have to say, the Crushers with Bryson and the Aces, and I think everyone loves the Aces just because I think they like that logo. But, yeah, there are people out here wearing different teams and shirts. And it's 2 years ago, I would have never envisioned what I'm seeing right now.
It's incredible. I mean, for a league that has been cobbled together and literally out of the gate was cobbled together for over the course of a couple of months, it felt like, and then to all of a sudden it now be a legitimate thing. You're going to all of the, you're going around the world traveling with this thing, and you're getting the crowds. Like, what's the expected number today? Do you know, for attendance?
Yeah, they said that they're expecting at least 12,000 people in terms of what has been paid and purchased so far. But I think they're going to get another handful, maybe another 5,000, 4,000, 5,000 people showing up. We could have close to 20,000 people here today. And honestly, that's just the right number, because you will walk around this golf course without having to stand on your tippy toes all day trying to catch a glimpse. You're going to have a quality experience viewing golf that you might not otherwise have if you went to the Masters or a U.S. Open and they overstuff the property full of people. To me, this is how the PGA Tour used to be. When I'd go out to the Butler National Club to watch the Western Open back in the 70s and the 80s, it was crowded like this. It wasn't jammed with 50,000 people and hospitality tents from here to Timbuktu. This is almost a little bit more the old school in a way in terms of the numbers, but it also enjoy some of the latest and greatest in temporary buildings, modules, and different structures that they can use to pull this thing together. And the one thing I will say, you know, I had Vince from Kemper Sports up here this morning, and we were just chatting, and the one thing he mentioned to me was that, you know, this LIV production team, they don't miss. Their timing is exactly spot on anything and everything they do. The production company that backs all this and travels with it is probably one of the best production companies I've ever seen. And I've seen them now work in a variety of cities, and this is unbelievable. The logistics, I mean, they own all of their own fleet of four-person golf carts that are, I mean, souped up. I'll bet each one of these golf carts is $20,000 a piece. Oh, wow. And there's got to be 40 or 50 of these things out here. They are Mercedes-Benz. I won't even call these Cadillacs. These things are like Mercedes that take these guys out to the course. It's unbelievable. And this is a traveling road show. And what they tell me is that they have like a whole second, you know, production here in the United States that's being set up right now in Dallas. In fact, some of the people that I checked in with on Wednesday are no longer here because they had to go down to Dallas and get ready for next week. So they basically have two complete setups going in the United States that they just leapfrog when they're in the United States, and then they keep a whole nother set of this overseas for all the production and all the events when they leave the United States. So this is no small little Band-Aid, duct tape, meatball surgery kind of event. This is better than, I would say, 65 to 70% of the tour stops in terms of how they lay themselves up. This doesn't measure up to any sort of a major by any stretch of the imagination, but in terms of like a PGA Tour event, this is as good or better than anything you'll see out on the PGA Tour based on what I'm seeing here today.
Yeah, well, we know money is no object for this tour, so they can kind of do whatever they want from that standpoint there. Real quick, before we go around the CDGA, Eddie is on the north side and has a question for us. What's going on, Eddie?
Hey, good morning, guys. A couple of weeks ago, I think it was a Japanese player, but they were showing his bag with the irons, and he had 2 6-irons. But what I noticed on these irons, they had this big screw that was at the end of it, like you could unscrew it. Are they adding different materials or weights into these irons? Because I've never had that, like, you know, golfing all my life. And they mentioned about weights being added to irons and, you know, like with a tape. And I thought that would be altering clubs, but I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Are they doing this on the course when they have certain shots? And
yeah, no, to your point, Eddie, yes, technology has allowed for these types of, well, I'll call it an opening at the end of the toe. I'm not so sure that that's as much of a weight as it was a way to inject some of the material that now helps deaden and helps soften up the feel of the irons, the vibre core that they'll mention, that kind of thing. Now, in the old days, when we had the old muscle-back irons, we would literally use lead tape and tape to weight our irons. Now, you you can't be changing the condition of your golf club while you're out playing. You have to keep the club the way it was when it started. But as far as the ability to adjust for weights, that screw that you're seeing at the end is not what that does. Now, in putters, they do have weights that they can take out and put in. But in the irons, that is not a weight back there. Now, some guys will actually drill out the backs of their irons and insert lead into the holes to weight the iron down. But that screw, you'll see it also on TaylorMade's and a couple of other companies, but I think that's what they use to inject stuff into the cavity that's empty inside the iron as they're constructing it.
All right. Thanks for the call, Eddie. Appreciate that. All right. When we come back, we will go around the CDGA, get you all the things that are taking place and what your membership is getting you as well, as with the golf season is dwindling, but we still have plenty of time left for it as well. So all that coming up next. This segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort, up North Michigan Golf without the drive.
More golf ahead. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. How's your golf game? Yeah, mine too, but more on that later. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
Thanks to Potsy, Justin Pottinger, for producing today's show. This segment brought to you by Cock Hill Golf and Country Club, a pure golf experience. Time to go around the CDGA. Mike, what's going on this week around the CDGA?
Well, what's going on around in golf? Happy birthday to one of the nicest men on the PGA Tour, to Tony Finau.
Ah, yes.
He turns 35 today. Yes, Mr. Tony. September Digital Magazine was sent out earlier this week. If you didn't see it, check your spam, check your email. There is some amazing content and some great video stuff. Check it out. Casey and the boys did a great job putting that issue together. Want to wish good luck to all the seniors competing in the 38th Illinois State Senior Amateur Championship starting on Monday at Itasca Country Club. And a massive good luck to the hundreds and hundreds of CDGA social competitors that are going to be playing in what we call Championship Week at the CDGA. Monday, we have a two-person scramble championship at Harborside. Tuesday, we have the Super Senior at Bloomingdale. Wednesday, we have the Senior Tour Trifecta at Arrowhead. Thursday, we have the Mixed Championship at Northmore Country Club. And Friday, we have the Jersey Mike's four-person scramble out at Bowes Creek. So the staff at the CDGA is going to be very, very busy tonight, or this week. And then really the perk of the week, folks, if you haven't noticed, it's starting to get kind of dark a little bit earlier. So if you have reason to still want to practice and you're coming home from work and you don't think you got enough light in the day, enjoy 10% at one of the 10 Chicagoland ex-golf locations and stop in and practice and still enjoy getting your game in shape, for still some of the best golf is still in front of us in September and October from the way the weather's been treating us lately. And if you'd like to be a part of the CDGA membership family and take advantage of a variety of these benefits that we offer throughout the entire year, just go to cdga.org and sign up. For less than what it costs to buy a dozen Pro Vs, you can enjoy a membership that pays you back or that it pays for itself. And that, Tyler, is all I got from Bolingbrook and around the CDGA. Come on out and join us.
All right. Well, enjoy the Live Golf event out there. Bolingbrook Golf Club, surely going to be a lot of fun. We will talk to you next week. This segment has been brought to you by Cog Hill Golf and Country Club, a pure golf experience.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.